Hi and welcome. My name is Jeannie O'Malley and I'm your host for A Clear Mind, a show dedicated to the awakening of love. Together each week we'll take a moment to discuss various perceptions that when cleared awaken a beautiful mind that can host and reveal the inner presence of love. Throughout the show I encourage you and invite you to please phone in with any questions that you have, anything you seek to clear from the mind so love, self-appreciation can be revealed. As the founder and pioneer of the Clear Mind System and the Higher Mind Institute, I'm so delighted to bring this show to you finally. It has been a great amount of time in the making, and today is the birth of a community that together can share stories of inspiration, transformation, awakening, and celebration. This show is designed to discuss the issues that are challenging, or shall we say, seemingly challenging. Together throughout our weekly discussions, we'll be awakening a new understanding of exactly how simple it can be to dissolve the old and perceive the moment. However, just for a moment, I want to discuss and introduce to you my story of awakening as an invitation to you to join in and reveal your story, what you seek to dissolve, to awaken and reveal love. In 1996, this body was diagnosed with a serious illness, ovarian cancer. At the time, there was a tremendous struggle with suicidal depression, addiction, and destruction within each day. In a desperate need to find resolution, I was gifted to receive a healing from a beautiful, sensitive light worker that facilitated me through a spontaneous awakening and soul transition. To integrate the transition, I entered an Australian rainforest to live for a period of 4 days. During those 4 days, a tremendous floodgate of tears awakened, and I remained on the forest floor, crying in deep despair, lost in the grief of a childhood of abuse. During the 4 days, I contemplated my reason for being in the forest and realized it was a quest to discover my capacity to live in love, feel love, know love, and realize love. After 4 days, I realized I could not and would not return home and continue to stay in the rainforest alone in my teepee with the assistance of friends for another 6 weeks. It was on the day that I planned to leave that I sat on the bank of a creek and began to pray. I thanked during my prayers the earth for her beauty and the strength to hold me up and nurture me during my stay within the forest. It was at that moment that I heard a voice that said, "If I told you that feeling love was as simple as breathing, would you do it?" At that moment, a beautiful vision came to me. A cup moved forward from the hands of a sacred master, and I inhaled spontaneously and experienced the first clear mind, three-part breath. In the moment of that breath, I heard the word precious. As I reflected on the beauty of that word, I heard another voice that scolded me for believing in my experience. In the moment that I looked at the voice that scolded me, the voice that was outside of me, opposite me, in a sense, and within that realization came a flooding presence of love through my mind, my being, the body, the perception, and the moment became the presence of love. Beginning to breathe the three-part breath, I moved slowly into the knowing and the realization that I am love, endlessly expressing itself. That moment took me a 9-month journey in the rainforest where I was blessed to develop, perceive, uncover, and realize the Clear Mind System. For the past 13 years, I have been blessed over and over, meeting incredible women, men, and children who, like I, had the courage and need to let go, to move beyond the pain, perceive limitations, and allow themselves the moment to believe in a miracle, in a practice that can awaken the beauty of love. A simple technique to dissolve the unconscious mind simply, peacefully, and profoundly. As I have traveled throughout the world teaching others of its magnificence and beauty, I've been fortunate to have my children and my husband, who has spent endless hours in his wisdom supporting the unknown of each moment of this mission. The endless hours he has encouraged me to never give up on getting this practice to those most in need of healing, the perceived thoughts, emotions, and experiences that attempt to deny the presence of love. It is my joy to take this journey with you, and I invite you that at any point, if you wish to contribute or to share, to to call us on 888-815-9756 and discuss what needs to be discussed to clear your mind, celebrate love, courage, and the beauty that is being birthed on the planet at this time. This evening we'll be joined for a moment by my guest, Cirilla Gallagher, the founder of Aspiro Lifestyle. Cirilla has spent many years assisting individuals through her gift of astrology and numerology practices, and this evening she'll spend a few minutes with us discussing the new energies of 2010 and how you can best be supported in your discovery of love. However, first let's shift focus to a beautiful musician and songwriter, Vienna Tseng, a gifted artist who has been best described as the child of Chopin and Sarah McLachlan. As you listen to Feather Moon, begin to reflect on the question that if you could not change anything about yourself from this moment forward, how would love be revealed? Please enjoy Feather Moon.
Thank you.
you'll agree that Vienna Teng is definitely a voice of this age today. Always such a delight to listen to her music. I think I've listened to her music at some of the greatest transitions in my life. But if you want more information on Vienna Teng, you can visit her website at www.viennateng.com. And I believe you can download all of her recent music as well as some old favourites such as that one. So as we proceed to move into our discussion this evening, I would like to open up a discussion about the limitations that we can sometimes feel as we go along the path of self-discovery. And to do that, we'll accept a caller, which I believe we have on the line right now.
Hello, it's Kim from Atlanta.
Hi, Kim from Atlanta. How are you this evening?
I'm great. My question is, can you tell us a little bit more about what it was like when you experienced that first three-part breath?
When I very first experienced it, it was an amazing experience because it was spontaneous, so it was very unexpected. And in that feeling, it kind of moved through my being and happened to me rather than from within me. And so in that moment of kind of feeling it, I felt like that I had actually been restored to a space of being at home. That's the best way to describe it. And I often joke with people that practice our technique that, you know, maybe love breathes this way, because when you actually get into it and you actually get to feel it, it feels like you're actually, you've actually gone home to experience yourself. It feels very different to breathing normally, how we do in and out, because it does have that extra three part to it. And so it has a feeling of kind of being restored and going home. And that's what it felt like.
Okay. So right away you knew that it was something.
Right away I had a feeling that it was truly profound. And then obviously hearing the word precious at the same time, that's really where my mind went to. My mind went to how could I have the capacity to hear that word, and where did that word come from? Because that word also felt like it was being said to me through the breath. And the thing with the three-part breath, it is combined with words. So when you are practicing it, you will hear several word combinations that are actually dissolving the unconscious mind during the practice. And so when I took the breath, my mind really went to hearing the word precious and how I would have the capacity, after having experienced so many years of abuse and so many years of negativity. You know, so many of us each day are absorbed in negative words and interpretations and negative programming through the television, limitations through our careers and people that are around us. And so we have this bombardment of limitation that goes into the mind, especially when we're children, when we first develop our unconscious. And so what really was profound for me within the breath was that it was a vehicle for me to hear something else. And as a program, it has become that, where when you are sitting down practicing it, it is a vehicle to a new way to experience your mind. And at the Institute, we say that it awakens a beautiful mind. And so the breath is really has become a vehicle in which to experience the mind in a different form. And so I think for me, it took my attention to the word precious. And then once I was able to identify with the word precious, and I said, well, that's really, where did that word come from? How would I hear that word? Because in all of the abuse, I did know that I had a limited capacity to hear positive things. And then as soon as I heard the word precious, then I heard another word say, what a load of nonsense, stop breathing, you're dying, are you kidding me, you're dying, stop breathing, and this is nonsense. And as soon as I said, well, hang on a second, what's that? Then I had that awakening to love. And so, and then after that, I breathed continuously to develop the program. And so, you know, the breath is the vehicle to being able to allow yourself to experience something else. And again, a feeling of home.
That's very cool.
Very cool.
Okay.
Did you have any other questions, Kim?
I did, but it slipped through my head and I can't get back to it now. So
we've cleared your mind successfully.
You cleared my mind just by answering the questions.
All right. Well,
I know what it was.
Yeah.
So have you seen other people experience the same kind of thing from this that you've experienced?
I think that the people that practice it have a sense of returning to a space within themselves that they may not remember in this lifetime. I think when we're born as children, we are born with this magnificent presence of love and circumstances within the first 7 years of our lives, and integrating into reality kind of have us define ourselves through the unconscious, which is developed in the first 7 years of our life. And so we do disassociate and lose connection to the presence of love that is always operating. And I think that, and it's not within our present mind that that's who we are. And when people do practice it, they do seem to return to a space within themselves that they may not have been aware existed. And so there is that sense of restoration and peace. And that's a good question. You know, I'm hoping maybe one of them will join us this evening and tell us.
That's great. Thank you for answering my questions.
Oh, you're very welcome. Have a beautiful evening.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you. In a few moments, we're going to be joined by Cyrilla Gallagher, who is a very well-known astrologer and numerologist, and she's going to talk to us about the new energies of 2010. And I must say that something that I did notice at the beginning of this year was an incredible conversation that seemed to happen within our community, that people honestly felt that this year brought a magnificent energy into play and something truly magnificent could come of it. And so we will have her on as a guest to talk about how we can best participate in the energy of 2010 and really support ourselves from a place of self-appreciation and love. But I believe we have another caller, so let's take that call. Welcome to A Clear Mind.
Hello, Jeannie. It's Stephen in Los Angeles.
Oh, hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. Love your show so far.
Well, thank you very much. Stephen is actually one of our trained facilitators, so I'm delighted that you've called in, Stephen.
No problem.
And shown your support for our first show, which I think is going to lead on to something very exciting.
Looking forward to the adventure.
Me too. So what was your question, Stephen, to help the people that are listening?
Well, you know, in today's world, many of us have limitations with the fact that, you know, we're given a pill for this or a pill for that. And it's very easy for a lot of us to sort of be rushing around in life and allowing those sort of medications to become very addictive. How can the breath really help people overcome this sort of thing?
It helps you because it takes you out of what has created a need within the mind to take them. So if we look back at, you know, you have a remarkable story of why you started this process, which we can, you know, go into as well. But I think that what happens is we predominantly live within an unconscious state of mind, which what that means is that we access aspects of the brain that are disassociated from love. They all come from thoughts, feelings, and emotions in the first 7 years of our lives that don't support the presence of love, don't support unlimited potential, and not able to allow us to live within the unknown that wisdom can kind of predict within our lives. And so what happens is people kind of get overwhelmed in these judgmental, you know, fearful, controlling, rigid ideas of who they are. Anxiety will seem to come about them, and there's a sense of powerlessness that comes, and these are all conditions of the unconscious mind. And the unconscious mind, in all fairness to it, it can't heal, it can't see potential, it can't feel that things can be better, it can't feel that it can change, because it can't, because it needs to be dissolved. And so if you look at all of those limitations that I just said, they're all qualities of depression, where you get a sense of powerlessness that things cannot be different for you. They can't You're not going to be able to change. You're not going to be able to change what's going on in your life. And so what, society says, well, we can't fix that. And that's truthful. We can't fix the unconscious. We can take ourselves out of it and we can perceive hope and potential, but we can't perceive hope and potential sitting within it, the unconscious, wishing we were different. And so what happens with the breath and the whole technique is it moves you to another aspect of the brain that can perceive the unconscious as almost being separate to you. So you can make personal choice to engage or disengage through the process itself. And so if you're not practicing something to dissolve the unconscious, then you have to live within its motivations, and its motivation is to medicate itself, slow itself down and keep itself where it is, because that's all it believes is possible. And so, you know, I think that people have a huge opportunity to come out of it. If they don't want to come out of the unconscious mind, then they're going to have to follow the path of what it wants it to do, which is medication. Before I went into the rainforest, I was on 4,500 milligrams of lithium a day I was on medication for 12 years, but I was on 4,500 milligrams of lithium a day for 4.5 years. And so I understand that disease within the unconscious, that it just wants to not be present, and it can't be. It doesn't have the capacity.
So what you're saying is that the breath helps us to stay very present and very conscious in the moment.
Yes, because it moves you into the conscious mind, and the conscious mind is what can perceive love. And so when you perceive love, you're living within self-love, preserving life through actions, opportunities, and experiences that don't want to take life away. You don't want to numb it. You don't want to take it away and not be present and not be engaged, because you don't have the capacity to do it. But it needs to be a shift in perception. All of these conditions of the unconscious are perceptions, and all the experiences of the conscious mind are perceptions. So if you can shift the perception, you'll change.
I agree, and I think that's really important for your listeners to hear.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, in your story of being in corporate America and being so successful and stepping away and reevaluating and looking at what was important, you're an absolute poster child of that courage.
Thank you.
After giving up your liter and a half of Diet Coke a day.
If it was only Diet Coke.
Well, it's been beautiful to hear your voice, Stephen. Have fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, much success with the rest of the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a beautiful evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I think we have another caller now that we can bring onto the line.
Jeannie, it's Cirilla.
Hi, Cirilla Gallagher. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, madam. How are you?
I'm doing great for the first time, trying to navigate my way through the sounds and beeps and buttons and things, but all good.
Well, I've been listening to you. You sound fantastic.
Well, we'll see. We're just moving along here, and it seems to be going all right so far. But I'm so glad that you're on the show with us, Cirilla, because I'm excited about your interpretations. I did an interview with Cirilla yesterday for her radio program, and I was saying afterwards what a delight it was to have the experience with you because of how you perceive things through your gift of astrology and numerology, your various practices, that you're able to integrate a lot of what we're talking about this evening into what you know to be true about the energy of 2010.
Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, 2010, you know, the last couple of years we've all gone through some major and pretty intense shifting. And I think some of that will continue throughout 2010. 2010, from a numerological perspective, is a 3. And 3 is an exciting energy because it's about communication and creativity and expansion and, you know, positive new adventures. And it's, discarding the old and allowing the new to emerge. So there's some of our, you know, there's a lot of energies going on out there still from 2009 into 2010 that are going to have to do with dismantling the old and the systems that no longer serve us, whether it's, you know, governmental systems or a shift in the medical system or within the economy. But, you know, these shifts are necessary in order to birth all the wonderful things that are coming, and they're already happening. There's so much going on at a grassroots level. You know, whether it's activities going on within local communities or and people supporting their communities more, whether it's people taking hold of their own health and empowering themselves, whether it's people learning techniques, you know, like the clear mind system of what you do and letting go of the negative mind and just letting go of old habits and beliefs that no longer serve them. So the energy of 2010 is a bit of a dichotomy, because we're going to see, you know, some continuation of this dismantling, which for some people, like you were talking about with the last caller, you know, the perceptions, depending on where your mind is, can look at that in a certain way that says, oh my gosh, what's going on? But these dismantlings need to happen for all this new and exciting energy to be birthed, and it's coming in wonderful ways. There's going to be a focus on relationships and partnerships in 2010 and 2011. So there's a lot of harmony and peace underlying, you know, a lot of the changes that are going on. And there's a lot of spiritual awakening. There's so much going on individually and collectively with regards to that. So, you know, I look at 2010 in a very optimistic and, you know, I'm eager to see. It seems like things are changing rapid fire these days. And the way humanity has responded to situations like Haiti even, you know, we were so quick to get in there and assist. You can see that over the last couple of years, there has been a shift in the collective. And I'm really optimistic about the direction everything is going in.
So would you, you know, I suppose like I see, you know, when you're in the field that we're in, that I notice that the people that have been awakening over the last few years, that the collapse of the old is really actually nurturing to them. They're actually extremely excited about it. I think from what I've witnessed is people are feeling that the universe is really coming into an alignment to where we've all really been pioneering to get to.
Well, I think what's shifting too is people's values. So people are detaching from superficial endeavors, and they're really beginning to pursue more meaningful spiritual avenues. And, you know, it's a total shift in the perception, and people are excited and they're ready to go there. You know,
Would you think the energy of 2010, you know, I remember from 2009, there were a lot of visionaries, a lot of light workers out there, did create new kind of experiences of, you know, new businesses and projects and nonprofits and just new systems of getting things done. And do you think that that 2010 will support their vision? You know, last year I remember a lot of people kind of feeling a little frustrated that, you know, doors weren't opening. They felt doors would be opening, but they were opening slower, and they were wondering what was happening. They felt called to take action and called to do things, but when they turned up to do it, there was a kind of didn't feel so synchronized to them. And I would often say to them, well, you know, during the destruction and the collapse, it's best to just kind of sit in place, ready to kind of move. Would you think 2010 would be an energy that was, you know, more fluid and more able to move those visionaries than last year?
Well, I think that comment's brilliant, and what I find in my practice, because I have a business background, so I do have a lot of people that come to me who are looking for business advice, and what I've noticed is that when a lot of these light workers over the last couple of years put their businesses that they were so passionate in to practice, they were using, although they were using kind of the old world and the new world. They were, you know, they had this vision of these new businesses, but they were using a lot of the old strategies to put them into place. So last year there was, some people felt that they were a little bit stuck in that particular energy. And I used to say to people, it's not about being stuck, it's about being in a holding pattern. You know, it's like the plane flying over the airport, and Spirit is getting everybody ready to be in place for the shifting that is going to happen in, from what I can see astrologically, in 2010 and 2011. So I think what it allowed people... what it allowed people to do is tweak their businesses a little bit more and allowed people to get rid of some of that older energy that they were still hanging on to.
And I see, I agree. You know, that was definitely the year for myself at the Institute. We did tweak where we were heading and the method in which we were delivering everything, and it did have new form. We did experience a holding pattern for several months, and I think as a visionary, a holding pattern is something you feel not only in all aspects of your life because you're operating within a system, but you feel it in the body, like you feel it everywhere. It's really quite incredible to be held when you're energetically propelled to move with something that you're so passionate about and that you've envisioned. And so, you know, I completely agree with you that I feel 2009 definitely kind of had that energy to it, and I myself felt 2010 just took off like a rocket. I thought, goodness me, the momentum it was. I said to somebody, it was almost like there was, everybody was air and we turned into water and just started to flow. And so I think it's exciting for people. And yes, you know, you and I discussed yesterday, we were talking about the Clear Mind system, and we were talking about, you know, I always look at the Clear Mind system and I look at how it was birthed, and it came to me when I had ovarian cancer. And I didn't have the time to dilly-dally along and question, contemplate, and discuss if it was time for me to make a shift. It kind of came upon me, and I moved into a mission very quickly. And the technique itself does loan itself to that accuracy where you are continuously dissolving the ideas that would block that mission, that would not allow the vision to be pulled forward because of the limited ideas of the unconscious mind, the fear, the rigidity, the ideas of limitation that continually surface as you are in that holding pattern. And I think that, you know, you and I talked yesterday about there seems to be an energy on the planet right now that the next couple of years for light workers to really get clear within the mind is so key to all of these things that we've just spent so many hours pioneering and working on really coming into their full state.
Absolutely. And I think touch on 2009 for a second and how energy works and flows, when we're looking at the numerology of 2009, we were in a year two last year. That's a very soft, peaceful energy. It's not an energetic energy. So when you talk about 2010 taking off like a rocket, that is the energy of the year three, which we're entering. Next year, 2011, being a year four, is a year to put these structures firmly into place. And 2012 is a year five, which is transition. So it symbolizes what we're moving towards. So we're on track, but I think the fundamental message that we all need to really accept is trust. You know, we have a tendency to want to push things because our mind thinks we should be doing something. And we really, at this stage of the game in our evolutionary progress where we are, we just need to trust the process and the energy of where we are. What we're feeling is exactly what we're supposed to be feeling.
And I think that the beautiful thing that I see every day in the people that, you know, are experiencing what we do is that people can trust. You have the capacity. Do you know what I mean? It is overwhelming when the capacity to really be in the moment and be in trust and be in the state of allowing and knowing and peace are not available to you. And I think that, I was explaining to you yesterday, Cirilla, that I think the thing for myself that when I very first started doing this technique in the United States, I primarily went after helping people that had been abused, or women in shelters or prisons or transitional housing programs, people that had lived a similar story to myself. And I went to help them, and it wasn't until I started to intermingle with the light workers, and I always had them on such a pedestal of courage, and, you know, these people that are pioneering these pathways and they're doing this incredible work, and I never identified with the suffering that they were experiencing by still carrying the unconscious mind. And I looked at what had, you know, the human aspect that was challenging this ultimate wisdom aspect. And so it was a very joyful kind of moment for me to realize that, you know, light workers and people that have, you know, embodied tremendous wisdom in their day-to-day and tremendous gifts in their day-to-day to be able to bring through this new information for us, that they actually, there's an actually a part of them actually seeking that freedom within the mind as well. And so, you know, it was a really beautiful thing to be able to watch some really actually profound visionaries and light workers last year that I was blessed to meet that were able to really clear those roadblocks of not really self-appreciating their courage and what they'd done and how this had all, you know, how it was all going for them. And they could actually sit in trust and sit in knowing and sit in the presence of love, knowing they were being honored and supported for their vision and courage.
Well, and that's why this year, 2010, for the Clear Mind System, is such an important year, because you're absolutely right. I mean, you and I discussed that about the light workers, and myself included. You know, we have this information. We think we should have the whole thing, but it's kind of in the left brain. You know, we haven't fully engaged the right brain and brought the two of them together, dissolved the bridge, as you say. But this year, the energy of 2010 has everything to do with humanity being able to do that quicker and more easily and more inclined to move in that direction. So, you know, it's a perfect time for people to embrace the work that you're doing and really look at how, you know, their thoughts have impacted so many aspects of their lives. So spirituality this year, the spiritual involvement, spiritual practice, just the whole, even the shift in perception around what religion looks like, this year is a profound year for all of that. So the work that you're doing, darling, is invaluable.
Well, it's 13 years in the making, and I must say I was talking to a gentleman today that will be helping me edit my next book, and he said this very exciting project, and I said, it's very exciting, I said, but when something appears to you, it's like having a child that was unexpected. It appears, and then you spend your entire life running after it, trying to get it into the right school and get it into the right shape and help it and guide it, and that seems to be how it's been. And I think for me, the you know, it was such an overwhelming state of gratitude to have been in the rainforest and have witnessed this such magnificent healing within myself, that the level of devotion that I've had for 13 years has just been non-human. And so to get to a point, I think, for myself 13 years later of really watching it mature and move into the homes and lives of other people and their definition, and it's a really beautiful time, really beautiful time.
Mm-hmm.
But I love talking to you, Cirilla. I could talk to you for hours because I love the whole integration of all of it, and you seem to integrate everything so much into our day-to-day, and I just I find so much joy in talking to you. But I just want to thank you so much for joining us, and you will definitely be coming on regularly to this show, because I know all the people out there that know about this system and are part of the community would have just absolutely loved that bit of information. I'll be hearing about it.
Oh, well, that's great. I'm I thank you for inviting me, and best of luck on your show. I mean, to get your message out there, I think, is really important, especially for 2010 and moving forward. So best of luck.
Well, thank you so much, Sarilla. Can you, just for 2 seconds for the people that are listening, can you let them know where they can get further information on a session with you, or how they can find out more about what you're doing?
Okay, well, they can go to my website, which is www.aspiro lifestyle.ca, and they can connect to my blog to get regular updates. I also have a radio show on the World Pooja Network called Frequency, and it's worldpooja.org. So those are the two best ways to get a hold of me.
Well, thank you so much, and have a magnificent evening, and thank you for clearing the minds of all those visionaries out there listening and putting them in a state of trust.
My pleasure. Take care.
Thanks, Sarilla.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So just this moment, I think we should take another moment to experience Vienna Teng, a beautiful song, Harbor. Thank you. I'm sure you enjoyed that beautiful song from Vienna Ting. Again, if you would like to find out more about her music and incredible talent, you can visit www.viennating.com. So let's move into a further discussion on what we talked about with Cyrilla Gallagher and how just really incredibly exciting it is. This year, you know, so many of us have built a strong foundation of what we really want to believe in and pursue going forward. And it's really, this year is about having the trust and the courage and the stillness to remain within what we've envisioned for ourselves so many years ago. I think there's so many light workers out there and so many people that have been, men and women, that have been giving their lives to their transformation. And really, this year is about remaining so still in knowing that we're ultimately supported in getting to that place of what we have originally envisioned for ourselves. I think at times it can be so easy to just allow life to overrun us with, you know, pushing us and pushing of what, how it should be or would be or could be, and then we find ourselves getting into a position where there's a disassociation from our reality to who we are at the altar or sitting in our room in our practice or when we're sitting down to channel or talking to the planet that we came from or where we're at a moment where we're most nurtured and we get ourselves into a position where we might be at home, you know, in our living room talking to the ascended masters or the people in our, you know, the beings in our lives that we really are connecting to on such a deep soul level, and then we have to go down the street to the post office and pay the bills and do the human things that maybe don't see qualities of who we are at that time, and that can be kind of challenging. And then we also have the people that have been forced into a transformation that maybe didn't have any idea or thought or need that they should be having a different experience on the planet. At the High Mind Institute this year, we have an initiative called Clear Mind New Planet, and our initiative is that on the 27th of September 2010, we will actually have one day where people throughout the world will practice the Clear Mind Breath so as not to engage in negative thoughts of themselves or others, so we can create a moment for the Earth to really take her, continue to take her ascension and really move into the state of stillness and not be so bombarded within her emotional body and her emotional field with negative thoughts and limited thoughts of how we're kind of perceiving ourselves and our reality and the choices that we're making. And I think, you know, a lot of what my focus was last year with the people that I was working with was, it did turn around at the end of the year to be very focused with people that have made a lot of transition in their life and a lot of transformation and have really awakened incredible spiritual gifts in their life. But within their awakening was the unconscious mind kind of woke up and resented everything that they felt like they'd sacrificed for their transformation. And so what they realized when they'd kind of had this resentment for their transformation was that they had blocked their ability to live within abundance, prosperity, and they weren't really integrating joy. And what we were working on last year with a lot of people was that to really take yourself back to that moment and say, well, if I couldn't change anything about myself right now moving forward and I had to connect to the presence of love, how would I do that and how would that look? And when they were able to really move into deep self-appreciation for their courage, then they reconnected to that abundant flow of prosperity, which helped them move forward in other areas of their lives. But when you are not able to truly celebrate the wisdom that has come over you to give up certain qualities that haven't served the greater good of yourself or humanity, if you can't connect to the joy of that, then you do block the presence of abundance, because the presence of abundance is an energy that moves toward us and connects to us through joy and how we express that joy. And so we did work a lot last year on being able to express that joy, and I think sometimes when we're moving along and we're living our path and we're envisioning something for ourselves, we don't really connect to the courage it takes to really wake up. And I remember I was with my daughter one night in the car, and she was 9 and she's 11 now, And we were in the car and we were driving, and I'd been at the women's prison that day, and I was crying in the car, because when you're in service, I don't know about you, but when you're in service, you seem to be continually crying. But I was crying in the car, and she was sitting next to me, and I said, one day we're going to have a beautiful center for the women in our nonprofit where they can go and heal and be nurtured, and it'll be like a spa environment where the women who have been incarcerated can heal from their abuse and practice the system and have other people come in and help them. And I said, and I just so want that for them. And she looked at me and she said, that's such a beautiful thing that you want to help those ladies, Mum, but have you ever thanked yourself for having the courage to go into the rainforest? And I said, well, no, I haven't ever done that. And she said, well, you know, you have had a huge transformation and you are helping lots of people and this does change people's lives, but if you didn't have the courage to go into the rainforest, none of this would be happening. And when I sat and reflected on that for a moment, I think that is a bit of a condition within each of us, is that we're always looking for what's potentially coming toward us or what could potentially happen, but what's really happening within this moment, how are we really honoring the moment right now and everything that's got us to this moment by really remaining within deep self-appreciation and not looking to be different or help more people or create more opportunity to serve, but really staying within the moment and saying, wow, look at who I am within this moment and how I've shown up to really experience and allow love to be present within my life. And so, you know, that seemed to be the nature of the end of last year and moving into 2010. It's really about preserving the qualities of self-appreciation and self-love by really knowing that we are within every moment expressing love towards ourselves. When we express love towards ourselves within our thoughts, then we will attract opportunities within our lives to express love to people that want love, that can have a capacity to receive love, or for them to have an awakening to be able to experience love. And often women, when I'm working with them, will say to me, but my husband doesn't love me and he's not seeing me, my partner doesn't love me and they're not seeing me, and I don't feel honored. And we always go back to, but am I honoring myself? Am I really taking the time and the focus off them and putting it into, am I really allowing love to express itself? And I often say to people that are you really allowing the universe to provide gratitude towards you? I was driving along in my car a few months ago when I released Awaken the Higher Mind, and I was driving along and I got a phone call from a doctor that's very supportive of this process, and he was so over the moon with the book and telling me so many magnificent things of what he envisioned for it, and I hung the phone up and I started to cry. And in that moment, I felt the universe say to me, could you embody the gratitude that the universe has for what you have done? And I'm always expressing gratitude for everything that's come into my life, but trying to embody gratitude back was an indescribable experience. And you can only have that experience if you're preserving self-appreciation and preserving the qualities of love that support you being able to integrate that awareness and that gratitude for what you're doing every day. And so I think the theme of this show really has been about not seeking to change and not seeking to be different and not seeking for more and not seeking to be what may become, but really about focusing on I am love within this moment. Right now, I am love. And allowing yourself to have that experience. And when the thoughts come that maybe you're not ready or you're not, or things aren't moving quite the way you want them to be or you would expect them to be, really saying, you know what, I really don't need to have that thought and I'm really not going to carry that thought because I am the presence of love, and expecting a miracle within the universe that you'll be supported in that. I thank you so much for being with us this evening and having Cirilla on the show and Vienna's beautiful music. I encourage you to visit the Clear Mind page at BBS Radio and find out more. Click on the links, learn about the Clear Mind system, and have a magnificent week in love. Thank you.